Hi. Gideon is not seeing that Jesus has been asking the gatekeepers to change in the street. Well, here I am at this lake. I've been sort of getting close to the middle of Taiwan. It looks like the water's pretty low here. Do you know? Pretty soon, the water will be removed. We call it the rain in the tribulation days. The two witnesses are going to turn off the water. Now, a lot of Christians just think that this won't happen. You just really believe that you're going to get home free, that your relationship with Jesus remains about the same. You may think that it actually gets a little tough here and there, and there's always that chance in the back of your mind that one day you may have to get your head chopped off for Jesus. But most of the time, you're just kind of thinking that you don't even have to worry about that. Those are Christians that come later, that get saved after the rapture takes place. And so you'll just miss any of that. Though some of you are still thinking that you're ready for the getting the head chopped off thing. In case you don't know it, the United States, at least, is well prepared with many camps, FEMA camps, that like the FEMA, about 90% of its funding goes to produce and maintain empty concentration-type camps. They're going to be also called re-education camps and slave labor camps and execution camps. And these are well established. And part of what they're going to have is guillotines. Kind of sounds funny in this day and age, you know. We think they have a different way of executing people. After all, the Bible does say our heads will get chopped off if we get into one of these situations where you're going to be asked to renege your faith in Jesus Christ. You accept the Antichrist, accept the mark. When you say no, you get your head chopped off. That's what the Bible says. And guess what? No myth, no guessing, no just kind of stating it because, you know, by faith the Bible says that our heads will get cut off. You can actually find some facts. You see, the government actually is producing guillotines in large numbers, actually, and they're trucking them off to stations. Some of these FEMA camps are specially designed to execute people. But the truckloads of them are and have been delivered and set up. So, yes, in the United States and around the world, they are set up to actually chop your heads off. But probably the more massive way of killing is going to be gassing, through picking you up and transporting you by rail car, prison rail car that has shackles. It'll shackle your hands and feet. You'll be actually handcuffed to the rail car, prison car. China actually makes a good number of these rail cars and has shipped them to the United States already. They got the people to round you up because, you know, 30, 40 million people they're going to be putting into these camps and about 10 million they're going to execute pretty much right away. And they need somebody to get you. You know, one of the things that no matter how terrible things get, Americans are not easily able to just kill Americans just because the government tells them so, their military leaders tell them so. So generally, our military will be sent overseas to do this kind of job, while foreign troops will be brought here to do this kind of job in such a way that to give you some numbers that exist right now, like in Mexico, there's like 3 million Russian troops waiting to cross over to the United States. And in the United States, maybe there's 2 million. I get them mixed up. There's either 3 million in the United States or 3 million in Mexico and then 2 million in the other, as it were. Maybe those numbers are vice versa. But in Canada now, they've just fairly recently opened their coastal borders on the West Coast to have no security. Almost nothing at all. So, which means it opens the door for already planned and agreed to way of getting massive numbers of Chinese troops to come in to Canada and then cross over into the United States. And so they've already got pretty well prepared 5 to 7 million troops to start rounding up 40 million Americans. You know, these 40 million Americans are already on list. They're not going to, in the future, start making a list, see who's naughty or who's nice. They already made the list, and they started decades and decades ago. So they are already developing information about you, and to even the kind of Christian you are, and as much as they can, the faithfulness that you have. Because there are some types of Christians that they had actually labeled on the yellow list, which are those that are, you know, they're going to flow with the wind. There can be not a great deal of problem. And there's quite a few on that list. Then you got a couple of the other lists, you know, red and blue. And these are the ones that they don't think there's, in fact, they just consider that these lists are people that just will not change, cannot be re-educated, and so forth. And on this list is something like 35 million to 40 million. Now, this kinds of people that are broken up are several different kinds of groups of people that generally will not turn away from their whatever belief is. There's the atheist type of people that don't believe in God. Nobody's going to ever make them believe in God and all that. So they're atheists. They're just not going to believe in God. So they're what the New World Order, Antichrist even, thinks about as impossible to change. Now, there are some that can be changed because they're searching. You know, if you become a Christian, unless you're first an atheist or something, and then something made you start deciding to check out Jesus, and you find out he was real after all. Then you got the various other religions, not too many. You got Islam, and you got Israel, Orthodox believers. That these type of people are pretty strong in their faith, along with Christianity, as to be considered impossible to change. The rest of the religions and stuff, that goes pretty much along with what's already to be. They already fairly develop in expecting somebody, and not so hardcore down pat in what they actually believe in certain things, and they can be redirected into, hey, it was Antichrist who they were looking for. And so these people are going to be assimilated as it was to a one world religion. Those that won't, gonna die. After all, they want the world population to get down to about 500 million to 1 billion people by 2019 AD. This process started several years ago, and now it is working in a slow, really slow way. So we only get hundreds. Once in a while, thousands die. And, you know, it's even a very good possibility that tsunami that happened is not an act of nature. There are good points of and credentials saying that this is a specific kind of a earthquake-causing machine or nuclear device that caused that to happen. And, of course, we know quite a few died that way. Just like the Twin Towers, you can have all kinds of stuff that seems really credible, but that didn't come down by accident. Actually, the leader is not Osama, but George. So that's why it was able to be done fairly easily. Now, there's some other interesting things if you'd like to search it out. You can actually get the second by second or parts of a second by parts of a second before the impact. You can literally see a rocket being fired from the plane directly in front of it. So actually, you can actually see a hole being made in the building and then just an instant later, the airplane goes into it. And it's pretty interesting to watch the video footage broken down. You know, you can make all kinds of things of what it really is and everything, but you can see the flash of the rocket. That's what it was before the impact. And that it, a fiery ball, head from the wing of the airplane and on into the tower. And then the instance of a part of a second later, you see the airplane going into it. And they go frame by frame, and you'll see this. And then it's kind of up to you to kind of decide it, what you make of it. And this is from the uncut, unedited version, which is available online. You can probably find it simple search in the internet. And we've got to get to understand that all of this preparation is not just for a world with no Christians. The Antichrist has been working for 5,000 years with a specific group of people. I just say Masons to generalize the whole thing. Most Masons might even be Christian for all that, for the fact that the very first couple of levels, three levels or so, you really can have a very strong faith in Jesus Christ, and it's no matter. It's when you start going from level four upwards that you have to. To advance to level four in the United States, anyway, you have to begin to change who you think God is. And I wonder if you can even hear me. Hopefully.
Can you hear me now? I think that you can hear me pretty good because I'm pretty close to the microphone anyway, just without the wire up. And that brings me to one of the points that I want to not forget. And that is the water business, you know. We have some water behind us, and the water is quite low, did you see? So, something's going to happen soon, which will turn this water off. And, hold on. I call, you know, when we're thinking of the rapture, we're thinking that that's when all the Christians get raised. Well, there's something that's going to happen first. You see, the tribulation is going to start. There's 2 days that is 3.5 days, which is 1,260 days, that is going to be a shaking for the church. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, lots of people like to believe that that we're gone before then, even though that, as I say, 5,000 years, the Masons have been developing plans how to get rid of Christians. The main thing is to get the Christians to stop believing in God and Jesus Christ, as the Bible says. And so they set up an elaborate system. And if you're going to sit there and believe that all Christians are going to be raptured before the tribulation starts, then, boy, look at all the investment that Satan put into seeing a world without any Christians. And you've got a really big problem, because then you somehow have to get magically the two witnesses saved, you know. I'm sorry, people, but the two witnesses are not going to be an overnight Christianity, you know. They're not going to be overnight born again. You can get born again in an instant. But the problem is you're just not going to accept Jesus and then suddenly be a two witness. You're not going to be that kind of a person. It's going to be on the right-hand side of Jesus and the left-hand side of Jesus in heaven. In the 1,000-year reign with Christ. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to spend the 3.5 years of their ministry getting to know Jesus and becoming real close to him. The two witnesses are going to be been on earth a long time, getting to know Jesus, been through thick and thin with them, having a personal relationship, very close, learn a lot of stuff, and may not see too much ministry because it's mostly school. Their whole life is mostly school, you know, because they got to do something. They can't be caught up in the ways of the church. You know, how are you going to make your mixed dollar so you can put food on the table and pay for all your entertainment systems you got in your church, you know? They haven't got caught up in this. You're not going to find that any person that thinks they're the two witnesses and then they have some sort of ministry and everything. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen that way. The way you're going to find out about the two witnesses, they're going to do something. You may say a little bit about them, but you won't even have a clue that they're two witnesses. And one time, right on TV, satellite TV, around the world, they're going to proclaim and make a statement and say, the water should turn off, shut off the water. They'll command the water to be shut off. The Bible says they will stop the rain. They'll shut up the heavens, and it won't rain for the length of their ministry. And so, these people are alive and well, and they're not going to just suddenly come to Christ. Because there's nobody that's a faithful believer that's going to be held back when the rapture comes. The two witnesses are not just going to be marked or tagged, and so when the rapture happens, they somehow stay on earth. Now, a lot of people have this really, really, you know, I feel really sick to my stomach whenever I hear that. How stupid, how utterly dumb and stupid can any Christian ever be, any place in the world, to believe that the two witnesses are is the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We have that. There's lots of people that believe that that's it, and somehow Antichrist stops the Bible. And of course, then the Holy Spirit basically is taken out or something. As it were. To kill him, how would you kill him? You know, when he can't become Antichrist, he kills the Bible? How? Anyway, there's some people, I don't want to get into it, it's just ridiculous that people can believe that. Then there's other people who believe that it's going to be Moses and Elijah coming back, reincarnated or something, or just appear. Well, the first Elijah was real. The first Moses was very real. And hey, you know, I have no doubt that it wasn't Elijah and Moses that were talking to Jesus up there on the mount. Transfiguration, they call it. But guess what? You know, John the Baptist got his head chopped off. Jesus said that he was Elijah. Remember? But he wasn't Elijah. You know, we like that. He's a Elijah type. He's the symbolism of the just before Jesus comes back. We have some things going on here. And one of them is that they have to have this kind of a figure, a messenger. And Elijah, he is a person that is, what I always like to say, the more mature thing. I also believe that he has a different name. Jacob is his other name. He's Elijah. Jacob is his name. He has some modern day birth name that he was given. I have an idea. The first name anyway. Well, actually, even more than that, but I ain't going to tell anybody. If I'm wrong, I don't want to. I'm not going to be given names. Sorry. Sometimes I will get names. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I will. But he's an apostle to a certain group of people. He's also head of anybody that calls himself a minister, a shepherd, a pastor, a priest. He has authority over them. He can do what he wishes and say what he wants to them and command and do whatever he wishes. And if the pastors and shepherds don't do as he says, they're in a lot of trouble because these two people got a lot of things. And Elijah has a lot of power even though he's not doing anything. And anyway, to move right on before the time runs out. You know, he'll be out and about and doing some very minor stuff in the world today that actually he's not all over the world by any means. He just kind of kept back being trained. It's school time. And I haven't yet really got to see too much in anything from God about how much of a ministry he will have before he meets the other witness. You see, there's a sequence of time involved here where the two witnesses will finally come to their ministry. The sequence is basically it'll start when they meet each other, and then a period of at least 2.5 years will go by. There is a remote possibility that 6 years will have to go by, but I kind of think that 6 years, what I'm hearing, is the full time. That means from the time they meet to the time they die together will be 6 years. And that would give them, they have to actually begin their ministry together at 2.5 years after they meet. So they spend 2.5 years together as constant companions, talking over things, figuring out what God wants them to do, and explaining to each other what God's already told them. And they get their act together, as it were, and finally figure out what's the team about, you know, what's it all for, and much more than that, people. And then one day, you know, and the other, by the way, by the other one that I call him Moses, because that's who I believe that he is, not the real Moses, but a Moses type. He also has a secondary name, Israel. The Bible always puts together a little story, Jacob and then Israel. Well, we know Jacob is Israel because God changed Jacob's name to Israel. You know, they're actually one and the same. Well, this is, you know, sort of true about the two witnesses. They're distinctly two individuals for a time, and then they're joined together to be the team of the two witnesses. And one of them, Jacob, who is Elijah, who is some other name today, is the older one. And then there'll be a younger one, which is Moses, who is actually Israel. He also has some kind of a name today. And they're both male, whether you like it or not. There's some two witness teams out there that are husband and wife and various other things. And somehow or another, you know, some of these ministries really think that they are doing that. Anyway, what's going to happen is these two witnesses are going to turn off the water. You know, so there's some water back there. See, it's getting kind of low, you know. If you were here, you'd really notice that's pretty low. And, well, the water's kind of interesting, back to the wire that I'm talking about. You know, the Holy Spirit is kind of interesting. It's kind of like electricity. You know, Holy Spirit is a person, so I don't ever want to take away his person, his being. He's actually one of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it's something that you have permission to use, even if you're evil people, even if you're an evil Hitler can use them. All these people, other religions are using them all the time. That's happening into them. They don't have their own gods. Remember, gods is stone. Other gods are stone. Some you carve in and stuff like that. You cut a tree down and you use some of it for firewood to keep warm. You use some more of it for cook your food in, and then you carve a idol off that you have and put up on your windowsill, and you have to dust it every now and then. These other religions and stuff works because they plug in the Holy Spirit. The two witnesses are going to do something in this area. When they speak to the rain and say, rain no more, this is going to turn off the water. Since Jesus rose to heaven and gave the other comforter, so when you got saved, you actually did get the Holy Spirit as well, but you didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit comes separate. Only got 10 seconds left here, so they're going to turn off this water. And what it's going to do, you're going to feel like Jesus forsakes you. And with the deceptions coming, the combination of this, that you feel like Jesus no longer is with you, that he turned his back on you, and all the deceptions, you're going to think that man over there is Jesus after all. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version of the Bible. Don't believe me? Then look up what's gotten hoarse, and then you understand why you got to read the King James Version. See you next week.